closer.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading our podcast from Italy on this wonderful Sunday, the 28th of April, early in the morning. Good morning, Miss Ashley.
Good morning, Jason. It is. I can't believe it's the end of April.
It is the end of April. Woo! I can. Well, we're coming to you a day early because we know the beginning of the week is a little bit busier here. So we got plenty to yap about this week. So we thought we'd turn on the microphones this morning and give it a try out.
Fire them up.
Fire them up. It is a overcast kind of, like, not cold, but not great. Kind of just...
No, it's like a April showers.
Yeah, day today. And it doesn't... make me really want to get moving, even though
we're in sweats and everything still. We've been jumping out of bed early and getting moving this past week, doing tons of projects. So with the rain and it's cloudy, it's a little like, let's just linger. I don't know. You want another cappuccino?
I would not mind. I would not. Hold,
but actually, but I have to say, don't you think the rain's probably awesome for the field? We just had it all tilled. I'll be posting a video of that and plowed. But it's got to be good that I'd rather have it rain now, get a little more soaking wet before we put stuff in.
Yeah, I'm not upset about the rain at all. Oh, we got all our work we needed to do in. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of a lazy Sunday here in beautiful Piobico, Italy. lots going on since we had our last podcast, even though it was only a short few days ago. The field, our orto is done. The fence is up. Our garden. The
potatoes are in.
Potatoes are in. We have some salads in, and the three passes. The pass of Vincenzo.
God, you said he likes to just go by Enzo.
Oh, Enzo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
That maybe it's an alias.
Didn't mean to blow him up. Mispronounce your name, Enzo.
It was funny.
Enzo turned the field with one pass of his tractor. Then Pierangelo came by and tilled the field. And then finally Basilio came by with his little tractor and plowed the rows.
Which was my favorite to watch because Gaggi rode on the back like he was a kid on a horse or like, I don't know. They just look so funny together, those two. But the video should be up today. On Sunday, I'm going to post it.
All right. So Ashley has a little fun. It's like 90
tale
seconds.
Tale of three tractors.
The tale
yes.
of three tractors. We need our own tractor.
I know. We should throw this up on Kickstarter and say that we need three tractors because
we need one tractor because we're borrowing three.
From old men. That's the funniest part.
So that was the middle of last week, which is great. So at least the garden started. We have onions coming next week.
I was just going to say, Gaggi is raring to go with those bad boys.
He is raring to go with the onions. And it's still, for us, it's still a little early just because we're still in April. And I want to just give it another week at least.
At least. We've never put the onions in before, like, the 10th of May.
All right. So there you go. At least a little bit longer. Even though the nights have been... warmer. The other night it was 16 degrees or like the low 60. Was it high 50, low 60s?
But we got burned last year, baby.
We did get burned last year. We got lulled into thinking that
it was so nice.
It was so nice. And then all of a sudden in late May, a freeze, two nights in a row, hard frost. And I paid the price. So I learned.
That's when you're thankful you're not a farmer for...
reals?
Yes.
Like my crops depend on if we eat or not. Yeah, I know. I couldn't imagine... that having to deal with that.
Oh my God. I mean, just replanting a couple hundred tomatoes was bad enough, but to do fields of something, yeah, that your family counted on to survive, that would be hard living.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then, let's see, what else do we do?
Then we've been washing bottles.
We've been oh my goodness. So it's time to get our wine for the season. So we've taken out all of our wine bottles and washed them up real well and put them on the, bottle tree. And
I never even took a stupid picture of that.
Really?
No, I did so many times.
We washed 600, 700 bottles, mm-hmm. I think. Lots and lots and lots of bottles. Crates and crates and boxes and boxes.
Right, you're just going, oh my God, there's more.
And then and then on Wednesday we went to Fano and rented a furgone, or a big, huge sprinter van, like a big, huge
Mercedes.
It was hell of a lot nicer than our car.
It
let
had
me
some
tell
get
you,
get up and go.
It had power. It drove like a dream.
Except you had no idea how long you really were.
Oh my! This van is long. It's big and long. Here's the funny story. This is Italy, everyone. Here's Italy. Called up, have the van rented, ready to go. We go on Wednesday night to pick it up. We really don't need it till Friday, but Thursday was a
holiday.
So we went on Wednesday night to get it. When we get there, the guy says, we have problems. The two people haven't brought him back yet. And the one guy was supposed to come by this afternoon, and he's still an hour south of Rome loading the van. And
there was a lot of showmanship going on. Yeah, a lot of heavy breathing, a lot of walking around, and phone calls being made.
All right. 2 hours later, he agreed that one van would be back. It was the biggest van that he had, which is like, all right, fine. At least it's something. But it wouldn't be there till 9 or 9:30. So we went to dinner, came back, got the van. She's like, it's dirty. I'm like, I don't care. It's got gas. It's got a full tank of gas, and it'll fit everything we need. We're out of here. Go back home.
Like, so really also 4 hours after we were supposed
4 hours
to
after
pick
we were supposed to pick it up, which is fine. It's fine. It's Italy. At least we got it.
Just, I mean, who's counting, but
at least, no, see, I look at it as at least we got the van.
Oh no, I agree totally. I just mean to put it into perspective.
Yes. So take it home. Thursday, we continue to wash bottles. It was a holiday. Friday morning, we wake up and go, and we go and get our wine. We went to three different wineries. Can you really call them wineries? Serinelli?
His is wine, like a cantina in his family's home. in the middle of town.
South of Ancona, about 10 minutes south of Ancona.
In like the Conero Riviera.
Yeah.
And like near Monte Conero and along the coast. And he has incredible wine, but there's no sign. You would have no idea.
You just go into
what looks like a big like garage door. And then you see huge winemaking equipment. He's pretty small. Production.
He's the smallest of the ones we went to. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He maybe makes a few thousand, maybe, what do you think? 10,000 bottles a year, maybe?
And he's the freaking most expensive.
He is the most expensive. His Fuso is the most delicious.
Yes, which we always get. But his bottled Superiore, his nicest bottle of wine, he sells to us for 30 euro a bottle.
Which is unheard of. That is like, and everyone's sitting here laughing going, 30 euro a bottle, that's not that much. What are you talking about? For Marchigiani wines, 30 euro a bottle is like,
whoa.
Cape Bali. wine, but
it's a beautiful wine. But it's like, oh my god, that is super expensive compared to Giusti, who makes a beautiful bottle of Lacrima, and his Superiore is what we like to serve at weddings as like the final wine. It is just beautiful.
Half the price. And but Serinelli we go to every year, and we bring our Demijohns or Damigiane, and we fill them up. They're these glass, almost teardrop shaped bottles. They're huge. They're 54 liters, and they come in baskets that are lined with straw so you can carry them. And we bring them into the winemakers, and they fill them up with what they call the Sfuso, or their loose wine. And if you're in the know, this is what most people around here, we've talked.
I know, yeah, I think
we've gone over it before, but if anyone new is listening, this is what most people around here do for their drinking wine, their family wine. You would either make it yourself or go get the Sfuso or loose and bottle it yourself. And you can find absolutely wonderful, delicious, incredible Sfuso wines that you'd have to know about.
Yeah, and what's funny is it's a pretty small town out here, and you can go to the farmers cooperative, to the Fresca Frutta, and they have
four wines
on tap in the back for I think a euro 20 or something, or a euro. It is a
bring
low
your own
euro.
Bottle, mm-hmm. Or they have bottles there that you can buy,
and it's not bad either. They have nice light Sangiovese,
but these are all drinking wines. These are not storing wines.
Exactly,
you're supposed to drink them within a year or two.
They don't have the sulfites to keep it aged. if you will.
To preserve it. But there, you can, we get...
Oh my God, we got an awesome rosé. That is the one I am most excited about, the Rosato.
The rosé from Giusti. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we stopped at Serenelli first, and he's South Ancona. Then we have to go to the big store and get...
Oh, man.
We got our load up for the season, the toilet paper and the soap and the dishwashing detergents and the
paper roll for the table.
Yeah,
all
napkins
stuff.
And all the... You know, the all that stuff.
Then
that
the stuff
need.
To IKEA for all the candles and extra curtains and a few things like that and hand towels. And then you're freaking exhausted. It's starting to get grumpy.
And you're only halfway done.
Oh my God. And you're getting testy. It don't sass me.
So then our next stop was Mora de Alba.
No. Then our next stop was a parking lot picnic.
Oh yeah. Okay. So no time, because we can't sit down for lunch because we can't lose an hour and a half or at least an hour and a half for sitting down to a proper lunch. So we had what we call the parking lot picnic, and you go and get...
It's classy.
You go and get some sliced meats and cheeses and some fruit and drinks and chips and bread, and you open up the back of the... Which is... This is not done here. Open up the back of the car or the back of the van, and you just sit there and...
Tailgate style
do it. And
we were just making sandwiches with brie and some good ham and salami, and people were driving by mouth open going, what the hell is going on in there?
Funny side note.
Oh my God, this
eating
is hysterical.
In your car, there's not drive-thrus in Europe, really. Like, Europeans are not into eating in their cars. There's tons of picnic tables. There's tons of rest stops. You can... always find a place to pull over and get out, you know, eat something. But one of our friends got a ticket in Germany for eating while driving.
An American.
She was eating while driving, and she got a ticket. We haven't talked. We saw an email about it, but I'm interested. I'm interested to see what exactly happened. But anyway. So we had our parking lot picnic, and then it was off to Cantina Santa Mica.
Run by women, mom and daughter, and it is beautiful.
Where is that one?
It is outside of Jesi.
It is outside of Jesi.
And
Jesi's known for Verdicchio.
For Verdicchio, sorry. And they have this now is much more quintessential of a place. They've got the vines. They have the big iron gate you pass through with the huge barrels welcoming you.
Antique tractors all littered over the property.
And the kind of wine barn or wine house, if you will.
With the giant things to store the wines all lined up next to each other in both wood and in cemented in.
First of all, how old do you think those big barrels were, and how big do you think those big barrels were?
Well, I'm sure with a Google search you all about that we did any research into our stories.
We don't.
You can very much Google.
Let's just make something up.
Back in the 1640s, no, even earlier, the 1500s.
Yeah, I'd go with
the wood
going.
Was chopped down by virgins.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know.
No, but it's beautiful because they have that, the barrel room, I would call it. And then they have another room adjacent to that with all of the stainless steel looser wines for the... and we got
a Verdicchio Doc
there, which is really nice. And then we continued on. I took a bunch of video there because it was just so pretty. And then we went to Giusti.
Juicy outside of Mora di Alba,
mm-hmm.
Which is known for the lacrima or the teardrop.
And of course, a side note, this is why GPS is, we should have brought the map. Jason said, did you grab the map? I said, we don't need the map. Well, why do we have the map? We know where we're going and we've got the GPS. Dummy. Because even with the GPS, we have the address in there and then we call, it's not working. We show up somewhere else in town and it's like, this is where it's telling us. We call him and luckily we speak Italian, but I just think about for guests or other people driving around plugging in addresses that then he's like, oh no, it's actually technically on the road to
exactly like us.
And it's not really that address. And I just thought, gosh, it's so hard the GPS is just... You can't trust it.
No, and that's the major difference with these winemakers and the wineries here compared to North America. There's no wine road. There's no map with all the wineries.
There's no signs
for half of these people. So unless you know where you're going or know how to get there, we'd love to see why someone like Marco is so so necessary. The wine guy. Who takes Marco's Way.com. Marco's great, and this is why you need that. Because it's really not, it's kind of sweet and nice at the same time, but difficult if you're a tourist.
Mm-hmm. It was great showing up at Juicy's because there was a bunch of cars there, and we thought, whoa, who is here? Because that one, Villa Santa Mica, they have the signs. They've gotten really good at it. There also is a park. They do a lot of tastings and wine dinners.
You can have weddings there.
Yeah, they've really gotten into it. But Juicy, you would just drive right by it. It is like surrounded in like a tall bush kind of thing in the whole side of the house and or the winery. And we show up and there's a bunch of cars. And he was pretty busy. And he was selling some wine to, I think, some other like Enoteca or something. I think those people were not just like...
No, I think they were taking... They bought some wine to try out and they're going to take it for the Enoteca. And he also had the guys there. There was three men there who were really, really nice. And they had syringes and beakers and scales. And all. We're like, what's going on over here? They were doing blends. They were trying to blend some different wines of his to make a different...
They're winemakers as well and like work on the vines and stuff.
But I love Juicy. And he is... You could tell how much he loves what he does. He is the quintessential dressed to the nines, beautiful slacks, cashmere sweater,
green cashmere sweater. Like a lime green, like it just pops.
With a dress shirt underneath and the collar sticking out and hands stained red with wine.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Walking around with a wine glass in between his fingers and the other hand with a bottle just draped at his side as
he's good at schmoozing and without seeing like a schmoozer.
No, not at all.
He seems
so
really
passionate.
Genuine and passionate, and he makes you emotionally invested in this wine that you're drinking because you see his vines, you see his everything's right there. It's him.
Tells you stories about everything.
His barrel room is gorgeous. It's a very small production, and I hope it stays that way because he's really successful in doing exporting. He's smart because instead of selling to a distributor and letting the distributor export his wine, which is just another wine in a catalog that someone gets, whoever he does, he really flies all. He goes to Switzerland and to
China
and to the America and really sells his wine himself, which I think is...
It's that old Italian way. It's that personal relationship.
He's building personal relationships, and you can see when the guy who's making the wine comes to your restaurant or whatever with these bottles, you can... you're just hooked immediately. He's really engaging. And he's smart because if he sold it to a distributor, he would have to pay what Italians would pay for his wine here. But no, he's cutting out the middleman. So he's going straight to the restaurants and he can sell it for whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. He can still give them a discount.
And so he's getting the price he wants.
He gets the price he wants. Mm-hmm. For exportation, and they're getting a better price because the distributor doesn't have to wet his beak.
Win-win. He is good. That's why we went and saved him for last, because we knew we'd hang out and spend a little more time there.
In total, we got like 600 liters of wine.
Yeah, just over 600. I think like 615 or something like that.
And a bunch of Superiore or the higher-end wines and boxes and bottles. I'm sorry.
I forgot about all that, too.
So we're ready.
And a bunch of Prosecco and a sparkling rosé Prosecco.
He makes a rosé Prosecco called Bola Rosa. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. Rosés have really come back here.
Oh, my God. I know. I was saying this to someone that our first year here, a guest asked, do you have any rosé? And I was like, no. I was like, well, that's so passé. Like, who drinks rosé? And now I'm like, oh, my God. All I want is rosé, rosé, rosé. And I think, oh, my gosh. I felt horrible. I look back and I think I was I had no idea that it was really starting to come back. And it just seemed like something you had heard your parents drink that was some cheesy, like, Zinfandel kind of thing, but it's great. And in the summer, it's the perfect afternoon,
it's
like
light
on vacation,
and crisp and delicious. Yeah,
and it's beautiful.
So wine went well. We dropped everything off. all the way back to home, and then the next morning, yesterday morning, Saturday.
Oh, and we had to unload everything.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right, that night, like it's not like oh we have this huge truck.
No, the truck has to be back the next morning,
exactly.
Bright and early. So we
9:30.
Unload the truck. The guy tells he says, what time do you have it back? I said, I'll have it back between 9 and 9:30. All right, no problem. So we drive next morning, Saturday morning, drive back to Fano bright and early. We get there at 9:45, and I'm like, oh, man, we're 15 minutes late. And I know people are probably going to be waiting for it because it's Saturday morning. The owner doesn't show up after repeated phone calls until 10:15.
How were there other people waiting there too?
There was like six people waiting. It was ridiculous. Everyone looking at their watch, shaking their heads, pacing, mumbling to themselves. 5 minutes later, repeating the same process. A lot of porkas and katsos and all that stuff. Okay, so when the owner gets there, he takes the people who are returning the trucks first. All right, so I was first to go in. Looks over everything. All right. Looks around the truck. Everything's fine. Now, mind you, we waited 4 hours when he told us he'd have the truck at a certain time last time, and the truck was dirty. No problem, though. This is Italy. As far as I'm concerned, if I go home with keys that night, it's a win.
It's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
I don't care if it's dirty. I don't care.
So he's checking the car out. All right, how was your trip? Did you get all your wine? Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Goes over it. All right, well, you were a few miles over the limit. It's 13 cents per kilometer, or a few kilometers over the limit. All right, I knew that. That's fine. He goes, you returned the truck. It's very dirty. Did you go down white roads? I said, of course. We live on a white road, and all these vineyards are down white roads. He was like, well, I'm going to have to get it washed, so that's going to be €6. I flipped out. I don't care about the waiting. I don't care about that he runs around with his, like a chicken with his head cut off and can't fill out our form and takes him an hour and a half to do that. But you're going to nickel and dime me for €6? And
After all that,
I picked it up dirty. And yes, it's dirtier than when it came back, but I don't freaking care. You should thank me for being patient, and hopefully I'll come back next year.
So what did you say?
I go, mi scusa. Excuse me. This has been a little bit of a casino, a grande casino. They call it if it's like a whole big production that didn't go very well. I said,
it's
really?
Like a zoo. It's like
this is a zoo. This whole thing's been a zoo. You're going to charge me €6 to clean a car that was dirty when I got it. And I just go off. I just, blah, 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 and he smiles, which was great. I think he was testing me. Maybe. Seeing if he could get over. Italians will try, man. They'll try. They love it. So I think the fact that I kind of freaked out a little bit and was like, excuse me, are you freaking kidding me? But
the hands were involved.
Yeah. She's like, okay. So I just thought, okay, this expression you would say is, que pali. What balls.
Oh, my God. I love it.
But then we went to the market yesterday in Fano after that and got a bunch of great cheeses and beautiful fava beans and peas. And we had our friends Paola and Antonio from Gelateria Macchi in Fano. They were there opening up, and I took and asked them if they wanted to go get a coffee. And then Paola walked us around the market and showed us the new biological section. So farmers are trying to get into the Fano market to sell their stuff too, because mostly it's not
shit
the
sale.
Well, it's a shit sale of clothes and like kitchenware and stuff. But then as far as the food sections go, it's very political where your place is, and you have to have connections. So if you want to be,
and they've been there, like those stall owners,
20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
20 years. They're all tied up in the politicians who run Fano. This is what I've seen. I have no idea. This is what I've been told. And it's very hard if you want to get into the market to sell whatever you want. So what the farmers did, Coldaretti from the farmers union, they set up just outside the wall, and they have yellow awnings and
is
yellow
it by
shirts.
Where the-
it's right in front of the arch. Of Augustus.
Oh, that side.
Yeah, it's okay. Right in front of the arch. And they have a artisanal cheesemaker, and they have people selling stuff that are just farmers. And some of it's certified organic, but a lot of it's not, because it's very, very expensive for these people to get certified biological or certified organic. They're doing it anyway. You know, their stuff is biological, but who has, you know, whatever it is, €8,000 to, or whatever the cost is. I'm sure it's not €300 and filling out this form to get it done.
No.
So we went and bought a bunch of stuff from there. And
that's great.
It is. I liked it. We got to, you know, 100 tastes of everything. You taste everything, and we must have tasted 4 or 5 different cheeses, and it's, you know, pretty early in the morning. How much cheese can you keep putting down? We got a whole bunch of porchetta because we're going to do a little interview with Brandon. Brandon is from Vancouver Island, and he's in his mid-20s, and he's doing a stage across Europe, which is stage is where you come and work, and they basically for free, and you intern, but just for a short period of time. It can be a couple weeks to a few months. And he's doing 2 weeks here, 2 weeks in Switzerland, 2 weeks in France.
No, London.
London. Oh, 2 weeks in London at the Savoy, like really nice places, like real places.
He's going to the palace after us.
Yeah,
and like, then the Savoy. And I was like, why'd you choose
to come here?
He was like, I wanted the whole end of the spectrum. And I was like, well, I guess you're sure getting it too.
So he's been with us for almost 2 weeks now, and he's helped us bottle wine, and we butchered pigs, and we'll just ask him about his trip, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to talk about and his maybe a fresh perspective on what it's like to be out here and come to Italy and what he thought Italian food was, or what the Italian culture was and what it was in reality.
Yeah, because it's his first trip.
It is his first time, so we'll plug that in at the end.
Great. Anything else you want to add? I'm trying.
Anything else you want to add? Primo Maggio is coming up next week.
Yes.
It's the 1st of May, which is always a festival day.
Labor Day.
Labor Day, basically. We're going to do a little lunch for some friends. Hopefully it'll be in the teens and not in the 20s, like people-wise.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? For weather?
No. It'd be nice if it was in the 15 instead of the 25.
Yes, I'm hoping like 13.
That would be a that would be a perfect number. Nice. That's a number where we could actually sit down.
I know. It would just be like, oh, that is just so reasonable. I wouldn't have to move so many tables around.
That's really sensible.
Sensible. Just be sensible, Jason.
So we have that coming up.
We were this morning going over the wedding menu for my sister's wedding and that whole week of events. And
yep, I'm sure as that gets closer, we'll talk about it.
I know. It'll be good. I think people think that's kind of interesting to find out what you're going
to... Starting to plan the menu, starting to figure it out, starting to write down... kind of day by day what we're going to do and serve and really figuring it out.
Well, and it's the whole thing is trying to plan ahead because it's just Jason in the kitchen. And if we're doing it at our house or if we're doing it at another location and using their kitchen, how much can you get done beforehand? So you're not cooking for 30 a la minute. But that's kind of the juggling act that...
Oh, it'll be great.
No, I know. But I think that's what people find interesting when we talk about that later. Like, how do you like menu plan that out?
Oh,
you know?
That's true. Okay. We'll talk about that. That's a good thing. We should write that down.
All right.
Coming up this week.
We'll never bring it up again.
No. Coming up this week, we'll put more stuff into the garden. We have some guests coming. It's time to start thinking about getting our flowers in. We got soil. We got some bags of soil when we had the trucks when we had the van so we could carry it all. But lots to do. My allergies are going. It's allergy season. Even you who don't
even
have
me.
Allergies.
I was forced to take a pill the other night. Jason wakes up with god awful noises. And
should I do my? Should I tickle my throat into the microphone? No, no one wants to hear that.
Do it.
No. Do it. All right, very good. We're gonna plug. We're going to we'll plug in the interview with Brandon. So let's switch gears and here we go.
Diddle-oo, diddle-oo.
All right, Brandon, we're here. We're 10 minutes before dinner's going to start. And we have a couple minutes. So I found the your story's really interesting. And so just real quick, what are you doing here? And how was it possible that you got to come to Europe?
Well, it was a few different. A few different people in a few different places that kind of got me to where I am. The Okanagan Chefs Association held a competition to cook your way to Italy, and I ended up getting some sponsorship to come out here. Here in particular, we ended up having a stage fall through, and I had to find sort of some alternative plans, and my wife came across this place and seemed really interested. We connected quickly and were able to get a short notice for me to come to Italy.
And what do you do right now?
I am junior sous chef at the Fairmont Hotel McDonald in downtown Edmonton.
And how long are you going to be in Europe in total?
I've been here about just under 2 weeks, and I have another month and a half, month and 3 weeks to go almost. So about 2 months and a bit
in total. And you're at the tail end of your 2 weeks here, and then where's next?
Next, I'm going to be going to Montreux in Switzerland to work at the Montreux Palace, another Fairmont property. That's also something that I got. My director of my current hotel was able to contact the other hotels and get me some stage opportunities to work in their kitchen, see how they run things.
Okay, so what's a people for those who don't know, what is a stage?
A stage would be basically just coming in and doing a, like a work experience, job shadowing, if you will, to put it to its bare bones term.
So you get to watch and learn and see how other kitchens work
and hopefully do as well.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. So, okay, so we left you in Switzerland. After Switzerland?
After Switzerland, I go to London, England, to go to the Savoy Fairmont property. And there I'll be doing 2 weeks there, as well as after my 2 weeks in Switzerland.
And then is that the last one?
That's my last stage. After that, I'm doing about 2 weeks in France, 4 days in Paris, and then I'll be traveling along the Brittany coast. Then from there, I'll be driving to Spain, San Sebastian.
Oh, that's going to be nice. So you end in San Sebastian.
That's everyone keeps telling me that's going to be the highlight of my trip. So yeah, I'm glad it's the anchor.
Man, I'm jealous. I really am. So before you came to Italy, what were your? Did you have any preconceived notions about what the Italian food was like? And were those confirmed, or did it change your mind? And what's the thing that surprised you most about Italy? And what are you laughing? Ashley's laughing
because you're asking a lot. Let him do like two parts. There you go. Start with that.
Okay.
I thought the pizza wasn't bad that we actually had, but I thought pizza would be rockstar pizza coming here, not kind of like, oh, it's kind of a little bit criticized here, which I found a little bit funny.
We don't like the pizza in our area. You can find great pizza. The pizza in our area is really thin and doesn't have much dough to it, and it's not like it's just like a cracker almost, and it's okay, but no, we don't have great pizza in our area.
And the store's closing at 1 o'clock and dinner's not opening till 7 was definitely a culture shock for me. That was a surprise, and it was 1 o'clock. Those doors close for sure. So it was, that was a shock.
And as far as the cooking goes, did you find that, was there something, anything that surprised you or that you didn't realize before you came?
Super regional. It's so the food rules that apply in general everywhere apply to the extreme here, it seems, where it's, if people, you know, 45 minutes to the shoreline, things grow a little bit differently there. And when you bring some of their products back, they're just like, whoa, that's a product I don't work with there. It doesn't grow in my backyard. I don't know about that.
Well, we got the car. Well, for example, tonight we're doing the Cardoons or Cardi, and we went to the, we were in Fano on Saturday yesterday, and we went to the, farmer's market, and beautiful Cardoons, right? Gorgeous.
They were a little bit of a hassle, and the leaves were interesting, but, The finished product we have is actually fantastic. I'm really excited for that.
So Cardoons look like a pale, huge celery bunch of celery. And you have to peel the back of them to get all the stringy fibrous part off. And then you boil them in salted water. And it tastes just like a artichoke heart, right?
Lemon too.
Because yeah,
they'll discolor like the artichokes. And they taste like artichokes.
They taste exactly, I mean, they're totally fantastic. Exactly like artichokes. But we went, it's in the artichoke family, and when we were at the butcher, we asked the lady what she was, we told her what she was doing, and this was a butcher near us, and she said she doesn't know what to do with cardoons because they don't really grow around here, so she's never made them. But I added them to a soup that I was making today, just the leaves raw, and that totally wrecked it. So
the broth went completely bitter. It was a little disappointing.
It was. I thought the soup would be great. All right, but we digress. Oh, yeah, we did a butchering course. We did. We went and butchered the Cintacinese.
That was amazing, actually. That was really good.
And even though you work in a kitchen every day, we really don't get a chance to see a whole side of an animal put before you and how to break it apart.
Especially that fresh, too, where that was literally the day before, if I'm not wrong.
Or a couple days.
And it was But when you still have, you know, you walk into this this butchering area, and but right outside there's like pigs still walking right around that are just minding their own business. It's pretty. It was right where they were raised. It was right where they were grown. We butchered it there, and it was, you can't get much more natural than that for sure.
Yep. Well, it was a pleasure having you for the last couple of weeks, and good luck on your next adventure. And here comes the guest. I hear him coming down. So we got to go. All right. Very good. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Well, I hope that listeners found that interesting. No, I sure did.
We haven't even done it yet.
You said bring it home. I was capping up the end of the, I was pretending like I was,
The magic of television.
Exactly.
All right. Very good. Bring us home, Ashley.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can find us, on our website at www.latavolamarque.com, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Vimeo, on YouTube, at all at La Tavola Marque, and also on our blog, latavolamarque.blogspot.com. And you can hear us on Stitcher, iTunes, or you're listening to us somehow. I don't know.
If you like what you hear, tell a friend. Spread the love. Spread the word. And
share the videos.
Share the videos if you see them. Just spread it. Spread it.
Just share, spread.
Whatever. All right, very good. Info, if you'd like information on booking a holiday or you have a question or comment, you'd like to shoot us info at latavolamarque.com. LATAVOLAMARCHE.com. All right, very good. So from blustery, rainy, kind of rainy spring weather.
Kind of Seattle, and I'm liking it.
Oh, my God. Everything with you is Seattle.
No, Jesus. Just on the rainy days like this, I like it.
All right. Can we end this thing already?
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you next time.
Ciao.
Ciao.